Oh Allah, I ask you to grant me. Oh Allah, I ask you to grant me paradise, paradise.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of this beautiful series in the beautiful month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, as I'm here in the company of our esteemed guest and the ulama of your Dawat Islami, Alhamdulillah. On my right, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Damat Barakatumul Aliyah. And on my left, Alhamdulillah, Maulana Ziyad Madani Damat Barakatumul Aliyah. MashaAllah, these beautiful faces and these Nurani personalities, they're always gracing us on the screens of Madani channel. MashaAllah, it's such a wonderful occasion as we have two Madanis, MashaAllah, with us. And I would be asking them certain questions with regards to our issues, day-to-day issues that we face in the month of Ramadan, and together with that, how to keep the sanctity of this beautiful month of Ramadan in mind, and which is our topic for today's episode and program, respect for the month of Ramadan. Yes, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, this is the topic we are going to discuss. But before that, let's inshallah begin by reciting durood and salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And first of all, to extol the virtues of reciting salat and salam, I would turn towards our esteemed guest, mashallah, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Damat Barakatumul Aliyah, to extol the virtues of salat and salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Hazrat, if you can mention a few narrations or a parable or a hadith, inshallah azza wa jal, whatever you would like.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, Mawlana Sahib. There are so many virtues, so many blessings of Durood Sharif, of reciting salawat, salam, salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that not only do we see the blessings in this world, but also we will see the blessings of us reciting Durood Sharif on the day of Qiyamah as well. By reciting Durood Sharif, our difficulties get removed. If we forget something, by reciting Durood Sharif through the barakah of it, we will start to remember it. And our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wasallam has very beautifully mentioned that the one closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be the one who has recited the most amount of Durood Sharif upon me in this world. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Yes. So let's inshallah together recite durood and salam in the court of beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I mean you also included in it, dear viewers. Let's inshallah recite together. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Inshallah azza wa jal, before we dive deep into today's topic and episode, let's inshallah azza wa jal introduce our segment for today, and that is Test Yourself, where we test our Islamic knowledge inshallah azza wa jal through various different questions and answers. And today's question is with regards to the Holy Quran, subhanallah. And the question is, what word did Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam utter when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the cave of Hira? I will repeat the question again, and it is displayed on your screen. What word did Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam utter when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the cave of Hira? And you have four options to choose from. Option A, he uttered the word Allah. Option B, Quran. Option C, Alif Lam Mim. Option D, Iqra. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, it is an easy one. And if you think you know the answer, note it down inshallah Azza wa Jal, and wait towards the end of this program. The actual and the correct answer will be displayed on your screens inshallah Azza wa Jal. And now, as we have recited durood upon the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah Azza wa Jal, let's at the same time illuminate and enlighten our hearts with Dhikr Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. And our viewers out there, I would request you also to partake in this beautiful kalam. This is the kalam of Huzur Mufti Azam Hind rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, a very famous kalam, inshallah azza wa jal, and a maqbool kalam on top of that. Let's inshallah recite together.
Kuch aisa kar de mere kirdgar aankhon mein, kuch aisa kar de mere kirdgar aankhon mein, kuch aisa kar de mere kirdgar aankhon mein, hamesha naqsh rahe yaar aankhon mein, hamesha naqsh rahe roye yaar aankhon mein, unhein na dekha to kis kaam ki hai ye aankhein, unhein na dekha किस काम की है ये आंखें, कि देखने की है सारी बहार आंखों में, कि देखने की है सारी बहार आंखों में,
वो नूर दे
Subhanallah.
Basar ke saath basirat bhi khub roshan ho, basar ke saath, basar ke saath basirat bhi khub roshan ho, lagaun خاک قدم بار بار آنکھوں میں, لگاؤں خاک قدم بار بار آنکھوں میں, کچھ ایسا کر دے میرے کردگار آنکھوں میں.
فرشتوں کو پوچھتے ہو مجھ سے کس کی امت ہو, فرشتوں پوچھتے ہو مجھ سے کس کی امت ہو, لو دیکھ لو یہ تصویر یار آنکھوں میں,
کس کا بندہ ہے، یہ کیا سوال ہے مجھ سے کہ کس کا بندہ ہے، میں جس کا بندہ ہوں ہے نور بار کب ہوں ہے نور بار آنکھوں نے، کچھ ایسا کرد میرے کردگار آنکھوں میں،
عجب نہیں عجب نہیں کہ لکھا لوح کا نظر آئے، جو نقش پا کا لگاؤں غبار آنکھوں میں، جو نقش پا کا لگاؤں غبار کچھ ایسا کر دے میرے کردگار آنکھوں میں،
یہ دل ترپ کے کہیں آنکھوں میں نہ آ جائے، یہ دل ترپ کے کہیں آنکھوں میں نہ آ جائے، رہا ہے کسی کا مزار آنکھوں میں، کہ پھر رہا ہے کسی کا مزار آنکھوں میں،
کرم یہ مجھے پہ کیا ہے تصور نے، کرم یہ مجھے پہ کیا ہے میرے تصور نے، کہ آج کھینچ دی تصویر یار چلی تصویر یار آنکھوں نے،
کچھ ایسا کر دے میرے کردگار آنکھوں نے، پیا ہے جام محبت جو آپ نے نوری، ہمیشہ اس کا رہے گا خمار آنکھوں میں، ہمیشہ اس کا رہے گا خمار آنکھوں میں، کچھ ایسا کر دے میرے کردگار آنکھوں میں، ہمیشہ نقش رہے روئے یار آنکھوں میں،
آمین بجاہ النبی الامین، صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. الحمدللہ، as mashallah we have enlightened our hearts with Zikr Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah azza wa jal. Now to begin our actual discussion for today, and that is respect for the month of Ramadan. And this is something we see often neglected in our society, in our localities, where although some may not fast due to some valid reasons, some people, maybe if someone is traveling, perhaps there's women folk at home who are obviously who got their valid reason not to fast. Then there are children upon whom the fast of Ramadan haven't become fard and obligatory. Then there are those who are elderly who are suffering from health issues that is not advisable. You know, they have reached certain age and there is, alhamdulillah, provision for them in Sharia. And inshallah, they give fidya instead of fasting because they are incapable of fasting. So if they qualify for such things, inshallah, azza wa jal, yes. But at the same time, it doesn't give them the right to now eat in front of those who are fasting, to keep on chewing on things, knowing that in the same home, there are those who are fasting, inshallah, azza wa jal. And this is at the same time rude to the fasting person. We are actually being rude by doing that. Or even if there is nobody who is fasting at home, still we are not allowed to eat in marketplaces, eat openly, because there may be many people who are fasting, and by you doing that, you are actually sending a wrong message and disrespecting the beautiful month of Ramadan. Maulana Sahib, this is actually seen in today's life. There are people, even those who don't fast for an invalid reason, even they are seen doing this kind of things. You know, they are guilty of doing these things. Okay, first of all, they are not fasting. At the same time, it doesn't give them the right now to disrespect the month of Ramadan at the same time.
Absolutely, very true. Actually, that whether we are fasting or not, we have to respect the month of Ramadan. And it's not that we're given a choice of whether we can fast or we don't have to fast. No, it's necessary upon us to fast. Sharia gives exceptions to certain people, and for that, our viewers should contact Darul Ifta Ahl Sunnah, and then with whatever issue or matter they have, and the scholars, the Muftiyani Kiram in Darul Ifta Ahl Sunnah will advise you as to whether you have that concession. But alhamdulillah, majority of the Muslims throughout the world do fast in the month of Ramadan. There are some that don't fast in the month of Ramadan, maybe due to valid or invalid reasons. Allah knows best. However, no matter what it is, whether one is fasting or not fasting, sanctity of the month of Ramadan is extremely important. Currently, at the moment, we are discussing sanctity of the month of Ramadan and paying attention to that sanctity with regards to eating, but there are many ways. And that, inshallah, we'll discuss throughout this program. So we ask our viewers of Madini Channel to please stay locked on right to the end of the program, inshallah, azza wa jal, and you'll see that we'll discuss the honor and the respect of the month of Ramadan in from various angles, inshallah. However, the discussion that's taking place at the moment is with regards to eating in the month of Ramadan. And if someone has an udhr, a shar'i udhr, that means Sharia has given them the concession that they are not fasting. Like Maulana Sahib mentioned that, for example, we need to train our children as well at home. A child may be nabaligh, may be a very small child, but we need to place in their hearts the sanctity of the month of Ramadan, that, oh my child, the month of Ramadan has begun, the Muslims of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are fasting, and therefore you should not eat in front of another Muslim. If the child is still nabaligh, very young, maybe 5 years, 6 years, 7 years old, then the child can eat at home. If a lady has an udhr from the Sharia, a valid reason from the Sharia that is at a certain time she is not fasting, then she too should ensure that she doesn't eat in front of others. If a man has some reason that maybe due to old age or so, someone cannot fast, or due to whatever their reason be, if it is valid by the Sharia and they're not fasting, then they shouldn't eat in front of others. Why? Just for the sake of respecting the month of Ramadan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the command that in the month of Ramadan, when we witness the month of Ramadan, we must fast. So there are many that are obeying that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that are leaving eating, they are leaving drinking, they're leaving their thirst unquenched, they're leaving their hunger remaining, they haven't gotten rid of it. They are in the state of hunger for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to show adab and respect to them as well, and to the month of Ramadan, that we don't sit and eat in front of them. How bad it is that in the month of Ramadan, a Muslim can sit out in the open and eat something. We say, it's unfortunate, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, that Muslims sometimes are smoking in the month of Ramadan, or they are having a lunch in the month of Ramadan, that you know, if you are not fasting, then it's important that you at least respect the month of Ramadan and respect those who are fasting. I've seen disbelievers, and many of us may have seen, it depends on the country that you are living in, some disbelievers, meaning they are non-Muslims, but in the month of Ramadan, they will not eat in front of a Muslim.
They are actually awe-inspired, the disbelievers. How can you Muslims pull it off?
How can you Muslims manage to fast?
Yes.
Subhanallah. This the answer I give to this sometimes when we ask this question, that how do you manage to fast? You mean you're not eating, you're not drinking. How many hours? In some countries, you may go to 16, 17 hours without eating or drinking. You mean you don't even take a sip of water? Yes, we don't even take a sip of water. It's amazing. They can't understand it. People don't fathom it. Yes, absolutely. It's mind-boggling for them. But you know, the simple answer to that is, where do you get the strength from? How do you do this? It is the iman in the heart of the believer through which Allah blesses him with the strength to do that which the normal general creation cannot understand, cannot fathom how he does it. Throughout the month of Ramadan, not eating, not drinking during the day whenever it's the time to fast, not eating and not drinking, yet alhamdulillah, you're still carrying out your work. Yet you're still doing whatever you have to do. You're still looking after your family. And then at the time of iftar, we eat a little. And that you cannot eat a lot. We can't manage to eat a lot at the time of iftar, many of us. So at the time of iftar, when you can't manage to eat much, yet after that comes the time of Salatul Isha, and then you stand in the masjid, hopefully in the first saf, and perform 20 rak'at of Salatul Taraweeh. Where do you find the energy after you haven't eaten or drunk the entire day? This is the strength of the iman that Allah has placed in our hearts, that iman is so strong, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, that we can leave eating and leave drinking, leave that which is our basic needs, yet still have the energy to function and still have the energy to obey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. It is our iman. Yes, it is our iman that inspires us, and others are amazed as to how we can fast the whole day without even drinking a sip of water, without even, you know, inhaling anything. Like, for example, some people, they don't have to eat, but they have to smoke. They have this urge to smoke. They say, I can go without food the whole day, but I can't go without a smoke, for example. Or some may even chew betel leaves or whatever it is. So whatever it is that gets you going. So yes, and these people are amazed at, you know, as Muslims, some of us Muslims, we also have that habit of inhaling nicotine and all of that. So yes, they are also amazed that, you know, how can you now? Food we can eat maybe 2-3 times a day. But other things, snacking and drinking water, that goes on for the entire day. So how can you stay without food, without water, without snacks, and so on and so forth? Nothing, zero intake. And you still manage, you still function. And sometimes we can perform better at our jobs. Sometimes, alhamdulillah, we excel in what we do when we are fasting. Our concentration is on a very high level. We are on a high alert, and our cognitive abilities, they get heightened, subhanallah, during the state of fasting. And others can't even make sense of how is it possible. It is possible, inshallah, azza wa jal, if you are the one respecting the month of Ramadan, though you may be a non-Muslim, but inshallah azza wa jal, due to respecting the month of Ramadan, inshallah azza wa jal, may Allah azza wa jal put it in your heart that you have a deep respect for the deen of Islam. And inshallah azza wa jal, read the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as they are, alhamdulillah, parables where people have actually, they were blessed with the wealth of iman just by displaying respect and expressing the sanctity, or expressing a sense of sanctity for the beautiful month of Ramadan. Muhammad Sahib, are there any parables or any stories where we have an account of people embracing Islam due to the beautiful month of Ramadan and showing respect towards the month of Ramadan?
Definitely, Muhammad Sahib. There is a very beautiful story, actually, regarding a fire worshipper. And it was during the month of Ramadan where this fire worshipper, he was walking and he saw his son. He saw his little son eating something in front of the Muslims. And when this fire worshipper saw his son eating in front of the Muslims, he went up to him and he said, "Oh son, are you not ashamed to eat in front of the Muslims during the month of Ramadan whilst they are fasting? This is the only statement that he said to his little son at the time. Fire worshipper, he passed away. So a Muslim of that area, of that city, saw him in a dream and found him to be in paradise.
Subhanallah.
So astonished and surprised, the Muslim scholar asked him that, you spent your whole life as a fire worshipper. Everyone knew you as a fire worshipper. How is it that I am seeing you in paradise? This fire worshipper, subhanallah, he says that it is because of me showing respect to the month of Ramadan that before I could pass away, Allah Azza wa Jal granted me iman and admitted me into paradise, subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
But Mulla Sahib, there is very something interesting in the story, is the tarbiyah that the father was giving to his son. As Mulla Sahib was saying, that we should also teach our children not to eat in front of other Muslims during the month of Ramadan, so that whilst they are small, it can be embedded in them, and as they grow up, they will have this concern in their heart that no, the month of Ramadan is here, I have to respect this beautiful month of Ramadan.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So yes, these are the motivational factors that should motivate us to further respect this beautiful month of Ramadan. Remember, Ramadan isn't, the whole year is not Ramadan. Ramadan only comes once a year, you know. And just how we take great precautions when it comes to organizing parties for our birthdays, that comes once a year. And the month of Ramadan should be given much greater importance than the birthdays. We are booking halls, we are ordering meals, people, family members are getting together, each one is distributed their duties as to what we need to do. So much of precautions being taken, everything must be done to the T. And now, when it comes to the month of Ramadan, we enter the month of Ramadan anyhow, willy-nilly we fast, and you know, we don't observe the proper etiquettes of this beautiful month of Ramadan. We don't do justice to it. And one of the core principles of doing justice to the month of Ramadan is, first of all, have the respect for the month of Ramadan. In various different ways, eating and drinking is just one part of it. At the time of fasting, abstaining from sins and vices, vulgarity and obscenities, evil gaze, backbiting, all of these are measures to maintain our respect for the month of Ramadan. At least have some shame and do not do these things, especially while you are fasting in the month of Ramadan. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. We need to make sure that we obtain the virtues and abstain from the vices, inshallah Azza wa Jal. And in this way, we can keep a balance and progress spiritually in the beautiful month of Ramadan. Mawlana Sahib, when it comes to our spirituality in the month of Ramadan, as opposed to in different months of the year, it is at a great height, subhanallah. And like how in the other months, we don't generally do those things which we do in the month of Ramadan. And if at the same time now there is somebody, like for example, we read Quran excessively, especially in the month of Ramadan, more than any other months. And we are also habitual of reading more nawafil in the month of Ramadan than any other month. The Taraweeh Salah is sunnat to perform, alhamdulillah. But whereas in other months we leave many sunnahs. But when it comes to Ramadan, even sunnah ghair muakkada, we take great care, subhanallah. So yes, this is the time. So now if we are not going that extra mile, how are we maintaining the respect and the sanctity of the month of Ramadan?
You see, with regards to Ramadan Sharif and us doing amal, there's a beautiful example that I give from time to time and apply on myself as well, alhamdulillah, is that, you know, when a person is in business, different businesses have different peak seasons. You have for example, someone has a food business, perhaps the holiday time of everyone else becomes his peak season. Example, in South Africa, we have the year-end holidays at even December, weekend, January. Yes, even weekends, that becomes your peak season. Now, when you come to your peak season, what preparations do you do before you reach it? You ensure that you are stocked up. You ensure that if other companies, my suppliers are going to close, then I'm going to ensure, even though it's a holiday that is going to come and my suppliers may close, I'll ensure that I'll get such an amount of stock beforehand that can run me through the peak season. You ensure that your staff are working with you. You ensure that you are exerting yourself. Even if it's a holiday and your family is going on holiday, you stay in business. You exert yourself beyond. In fact, you extend your working hours as well. If your normal working hours was, example, 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock, now, in that peak season, your working hours goes even earlier. You'll start at 8 o'clock, you won't end at 5, you may end at 7. We exert ourselves. Why? It's a season of high profit. The yield is good. I'm going to exert myself, but in this peak season, I'm going to make 2 times, 3 times, perhaps even 10 times the amount that I usually make. Now, my honorable viewers of Madani Channel, Ramadan is the peak season for the believer. Ramadan is the peak season for the believer. It's the month, the 1 month in the Islamic calendar that you do one fard, it's like you did 70 faraid. You do one nafil, it's as if you performed a fard. So much of thawab you are receiving. It's the peak season. Are we going to go into the month of Ramadan without that preparation? We prepared for the business. But what about the month of Ramadan? We need to prepare in advance. When we are in the month of Ramadan, then we are going to exert ourselves and we're going to ensure that we give this month its due adab. We give this month its due respect. Remember that those who do not respect the ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are bereft of those ni'mas. Those ni'mas are taken away from them. Allah blessed us with the month of Ramadan. If we don't honor this month, if we don't respect this month, if we don't ensure that we give this month its rights, how do we know whether or not we'll be blessed to see another Ramadan? How do we know whether we will be blessed to see the next day of Ramadan? How do we know today could be the last of it? Maybe you wouldn't see tomorrow. So honor the month of Ramadan. Prepare for the month of Ramadan. When it comes to the month of Ramadan, then don't look at your watch only. Don't only look at that I need to finish off at this time. We have this habit sometimes when it comes to Salatul Taraweeh, people look for which masjid finishes earliest.
Allah.
Ikhwani, if it was our peak business time, are we going to try to close at its earliest or try to close at the latest? When that is how we treat our businesses, why don't we treat the month of Ramadan even more special than that? That it's the time that I'm yielding the most amount of rewards. In which business in a peak season you're going to make 70 times the profit? But in Ramadan, you're earning 70 times the reward. Allah is giving you more than anyone in this dunya can give you. So it is. We need to honor that. We need to respect that. We need to give it our all in the blessed month of Ramadan. And we need to ensure that we honor this ni'mah of Allah and be grateful for this ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that this ni'mah is not taken away from us.
Subhanallah. Jazakallah ma'asam. So yes, it's time, it's high time for us to honor and respect this great bounty and the gift that we have received, this special guest that we have received from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the sadaqah of the beloved Mustafa
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Inshallah azza wa jal, we will talk further and we'll discuss inshallah azza wa jal this subject that we are discussing, respect for the month of Ramadan, inshallah azza wa jal, in great detail after listening to this beautiful kalam inshallah azza wa jal. Let's listen to this kalam in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we'll be back after the kalam. So stay tuned with Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Le raza sab chale madine ko main na jaun are khuda na kare jaano dil ho shokhrad sab to madine pahunche tum nahi chalte raza sara to saman gaya mera dil aur meri jaan madine wale mera dil jaan madine wale tujh pe sau jaan se qurbaan
تجھ پہ سو جان سے قربان مدینے والے بھر دے بھر دے میرے داتا میری جھولی اب نہ رکھ بے سر و سامان مدینے والے اب نہ رکھ بے سر و سامان مدینے پھر تمنا اے زیارت نے کیا دل بے چین پھر تمنا اے زیارت نے کیا دل بے چین پھر مدینے کا ہے ارمان مدینے والے پھر مدینے کا ہے ارمان مدینے لکھ دے میری قسمت میں مدینہ لکھ دے میری قسمت میں مدینہ تیری ملک قلم دان مدینے والے ہے تیری ملک قلم دان مدینے حشر میں تم میرے عیبوں کو چھپائے رکھنا حشر میں تم میرے عیبوں کو چھپائے رکھنا پشیمان مدینے والے ہوں گناہوں پہ پشیمان مدینے والے تیرا در چھوڑ کے جاؤں تو کہاں جاؤں میں میرے آقا میرے سلطان مدینے والے میرے آقا میرے سلطان مدینے سگے طیبا مجھے سب کہے پکارے بے دم سگے طیبا مجھے سب کہے پکارے یہی رکھے میری پہچان مدینے والے یہی رکھے میری پہچان مدینے جان مدینے والے تجھ پہ سو جان سے قربان مدینے والے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ویلکم بیک ڈیئر ویورز. الحمدللہ, ایز آور ڈسکشن فار ٹوڈے از ریسپیکٹ فار دی منتھ آف رمضان. الحمدللہ, وی ہیو کورڈ دی ایسپیکٹ آف ناٹ ڈیلیبریٹلی ایٹنگ اور ڈرنکنگ ان فرنٹ آف دا فاسٹنگ پیپل ایٹ دا سیم ٹائم. اٹ از روڈ اینڈ وی آلسو نیڈ ٹو شو سینکٹیٹی ٹو دا منتھ آف رمضان. اینڈ دس از ناٹ دا اونلی وے, دے آر ویریئس ادر ویز دیٹ وی ایز مسلمس need to respect this beautiful month of Ramadan. Ramadan is a gift, first of all. It is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have received this gift through the sadaqah and the wasila of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as hosts, we need to respect the guest. If we do not respect our guests, what value does it show on our part? What kind of hosts are we? So yes, inshallah, azza wa jalla, with the same token, we need to also pay respect to the month of Ramadan in terms of having to fill the entire days and nights of Ramadan with virtues. And during the day, while we are fasting, to abstain from those things that cause the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the acts of disobedience in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to refrain from these actions. And that is truly doing justice to the month of Ramadan. Maulana Sahib, as we often see that people tend to think that only remaining hungry or thirsty whole day, and this is the definition of fasting, there's nothing else that we need to do as the fasting people. What are some of the rights that the fast have upon us as Muslims? What are the do's and don'ts? What are the guidelines that were set by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in terms of respecting the beautiful month of Ramadan?
Firstly, Maulana Sahib, we have to understand the sanctity of the sacred month, the respect of the sacred month of Ramadan. For example, when we have a guest visiting our homes, visitors visiting our homes, how do we treat them? We give them the best of foods. Even if we have nothing to eat ourselves, we go out, we buy something just so that we can accommodate them. We seat them on the best of couches, make them comfortable as possible. Like that, the month of Ramadan is a guest, and we need to show respect to this blessed month of Ramadan. You know, in the month of Ramadan, as you said, Maulana Sahib, where people think that fasting is just by, you know, refraining from eating and drinking, But the essence of it is what most people miss out on. And the essence of it is, apart from eating and apart from drinking, yes, this is set by the Sharia, that obviously to fast, we have to abstain from eating, we have to abstain from drinking. But the essence of it is not to commit sins whilst we are in the state of fast. We should not be speaking a lie, we should not be backbiting. And we see it so commonly these days, wherein people would meet with one another. A person will meet with someone. And what happens is, during the conversation, because of it being such a norm, such a normality, it became so casual that lying is just flying out in the air. Backbiting is just flying out in the air. It's like we don't consider it to be a sin at all.
Sometimes, if you stop somebody from backbiting, said, no, we met after so long, we're just catching up on some good old gossip.
Allah.
And
Allah.
It's like legitimizing this act of backbiting, and this grave, major sin it is to backbite. And they feel cool with that. This is now something that they feel that they're doing something so nice, and this is as if this is something what we are supposed to do when we meet and greet one another, is to talk about other people instead of talking about one another. Okay, how you've been all this time, alhamdulillah, we have been away from each other, how's family? Instead of asking about one another, they start talking about the third person,
Allah,
who's totally irrelevant. And it doesn't add value to the conversation at the same time. But this is the norm.
And in the process, we are actually destroying the essence of our fast. We are destroying our fast. Yes, we may not be eating, we may not be drinking, but in the interim, what are we gaining? We aren't gaining anything except from abstaining from eating and abstaining from drinking, as it is in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he mentions, the summary of which is that there are so many people who fast, there are so many fasting people, yet they gain nothing from their fast except from remaining hungry and thirsty. Why? Because they indulge themselves in sins, knowingly or unknowingly. They indulge themselves in vices, in indecencies during the month of Ramadan, whilst fasting. So this is something that we should ponder about, and we should reflect upon, of how to spend our Ramadan, how to keep our fast safe and sound. And by doing this, eventually we will see the fruits, the benefits, and the barakah and blessings of our fast.
Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. It's like, Masab, like somebody is working the whole day tirelessly. And then in that whole days of work, that person will do something that violates the contract of employment. And as a result of that, he doesn't get paid for the whole day's hard work. And this is the example of somebody who's fasting, who's going through all this hard effort to refrain from eating, drinking. He's controlling himself. He's not touching the food, although it's available to him. But at the same time, he's throwing it all away by gossiping, backbiting, swearing people, lying about things,
on point,
and throwing it all away. And fasting is like that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this in Hadith Qudsi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveys this message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the wage of somebody on the day of Eid who has done their duty, alhamdulillah, and as for the efforts that we have made, we are rewarded on the day of Eid, subhanallah. So if we have thrown cold water over all our hard endeavors, then what reward are we expecting? So this is now another angle to look at when it comes to the respect and the sanctity and the honor of this beautiful month of Ramadan. Sayyidi, when it comes to the month of Ramadan, so now, Maulana Sahib, we see that during the month of Ramadan, we abstain from lawful things and we pay respect to the month of Ramadan in that regard. But at the same time, why can't we remain aloof and protect ourselves against the unlawful things, which is even greater of a sin?
Absolutely. Most definitely. The month of Ramadan is a month that teaches us self-restraint. Self-restraint that we are able to stay away from things that we were not usually able to stay away from. For example, usually someone is used to drinking water throughout the day. Subhanallah, good habit, drinking water is very good for your body. But in the month of Ramadan, you refrain from that. You teach yourself restraint, that I need to stay away from certain things which I normally do, and which are normally actually fine for me to do. So this puts this concept in our minds that upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have left that which is my need, which is eating and drinking. Upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have left those things that Allah azza wa jal has made halal for me throughout the year, in all other 11 months of the year. If you want to eat during the day, you are welcome to do so. You want to drink during the day, you are welcome to do so, provided that it is halal food. But in the month of Ramadan, even the halal food you cannot eat whilst you are fasting. Even the food that was usually halal, dhibah, that is slaughtered, reciting, taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the month of Ramadan, you are not allowed to eat that meat whilst you are fasting. Bread that would be halal usually, roti that would be halal, water that would be halal, you are not doing that. So this is something for us to think about, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made things halal throughout the year. In the month of Ramadan, I refrain from that as well. So how is it that at that point, when I'm refraining from that which is usually halal, that in the month of Ramadan, how can I then perform those acts that are usually haram? Like we were discussing now, backbiting. In all 11 months of the year, backbiting is haram. So in the 12th month of the year, or in the month of Ramadan, how is it then that whilst refraining from water and food, we are now backbiting? Lying is haram throughout the year. And now in the month of Ramadan, when we are leaving those things that are usually lawful, how are we then acting upon those things that are unlawful? And thus, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised us that don't think that you staying hungry and you staying thirsty is doing anyone a great favor. Just in understanding, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who does not leave ill speech, speaking badly, and acting upon it, meaning acting badly, committing sins, doing wrong, the one who doesn't leave these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of him leaving his food and drink. Now we know Allah azza wa jal is need free. Allah azza wa jal does not need anything. But Allah azza wa jal is not pleased with it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that this person who is acting upon those things that are haram, despite him staying hungry and staying thirsty, but he's still doing haram, then he has lost the value of his fast.
Allah.
That he may be thinking, I'm staying hungry and I'm staying thirsty, as Sayyid Sahib mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallam, that they are not getting anything. People are not getting anything besides hunger and thirst from their fast. What honor is it to the month of Ramadan that you have left that which Allah Azza wa Jal has made halal throughout the year, but you have adopted that which Allah Azza wa Jal has made haram throughout the year? So this is not honoring the month of Ramadan. This is the month of Ramadan, the month for this ummah, the month of Allah, Allah's gift to us. The ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this honorable month of Ramadan. And in this month, where Allah azza wa jal gifted us this month of Ramadan, if in this month we are doing such acts that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed this is not honor, nor is it gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this noble and blessed gift of the month of Ramadan. Allah grant us tawfiq.
Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Mu'asab. Looking at it from this angle, mashallah, that you have brought in the nafs. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we need to exercise in the beautiful month of Ramadan is to restrain our nafs.
Absolutely.
To control our nafs. Mm-hmm. And blocking access to food and water, yes, is to exercise that practice.
Subhanallah.
And now, since we are not providing the physical means for the nafs, mm-hmm, this is the physical means, meaning food for the nafs. Nafs is something that the food, it needs the food. And for ibadat also, we need the nafs. For ibadat also, we need the nafs because it is something that provides strength to the body. Mm. But it doesn't need to be strengthened to the extent that it starts to control us.
Right.
We need to be in control of the nafs and not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So roza and fasting is the time when we gain control over the nafs.
Absolutely.
So the physical means of source and supply for the nafs of food and water, that has been blocked.
Mm.
But The other means of strengthening the nafs, which is lying, cheating, arrogance, ego, all of this, we are still harboring. We are still feeding the nafs in other ways.
Yes.
Allah.
So we are not exactly gaining strength over the nafs.
Yes.
We are supposed to, the month of Ramadan is there to give us the opportunity to strengthen yourself against your nafs. And how wonderful it is that, subhanAllah, during the month of Ramadan, shaitan is locked away. So you no longer have two enemies. Usually
we can't
you had
the
two.
Shaitan anymore.
Absolutely. You had two enemies throughout the year. One was shaitan, the other was your nafs. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us in the month of Ramadan that shaitan is locked away. When shaitan is locked away, you are left with one enemy. What is that? That's your nafs that's going to pull you towards evils. So shaitan worked his way throughout the year to get our nafs, to get our carnal desires in line with that which he wants, so that in the month of Ramadan, that nafs must still work on us. So we are only left with one enemy, and that is the nafs that shaitan has worked on and trained so well. But then Allah blessed us even further. That now that you only have one enemy, Allah Azza wa Jal made it such that Allah gifted us something that weakens that enemy even further. So now the one enemy you had, you already, he became half also.
Subhanallah.
So shaitan is gone. Now the nafs also became weak because you didn't give it food, you didn't give it drink. When it wanted to sleep, you had to stay awake and perform Salatul Taraweeh. When it wanted to eat and drink, you had to remain hungry. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, the nafs became weak. And all we have to do is continuously work against the nafs so we can destroy the nafs. When shaitan comes back, then the nafs is already under control. Then still only one enemy. But what happens the moment we start indulging in sins, we are strengthening the nafs again. Then when shaitan comes back after the month of Ramadan, we are back to two enemies.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
May Allah Ta'ala give us the opportunity and help us to overcome the nafs during the month of Ramadan such that the nafs becomes under our control and doesn't lead us to evil. And then when shaitan is back out after the month of Ramadan, then Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we have already become stronger through the month of Ramadan. Therefore, Ramadan is that school. Ramadan is that school. It teaches you, it trains you, it gives you the tarbiyah. And once you have this boost in the month of Ramadan, you have this boost, and subhanAllah, when you go out of Ramadan, it's just a matter of sustaining that which you learned in the month of Ramadan. It's a really unfortunate thing, and I wouldn't go too much into this, but just that as shaitan comes out just after the month of Ramadan, unfortunately, the way we give so much pleasure to our nafs at that time, and then shaitan realizes that now I already have the upper hand. Why? Because now the eating takes place, the drinking takes place, the sins take place again. Allah Ta'ala protect us. And if we are so weak in the month of Ramadan that we are sinning in the month of Ramadan, that we are giving no honor to this month by, you know, trying to refrain from sins and that which is haram anyway. If we are so weak in the month of Ramadan, then how fearful we should be that after the month of Ramadan, how is it that I'm still going to try or still going to manage to refrain from sins when I couldn't do it? I chose not to do it in the month of Ramadan.
Oh, okay.
Because really Allah gives us the opportunity, it's a choice. We can choose, do I want to take this opportunity and make the best of it? Do I want to take this opportunity and honor the opportunity? Or do I just want to waste this opportunity, and thereafter when I'm going to be weak and then the nafs is going to be fighting with me as well and shaitan will be fighting with me, if I couldn't make it in the month of Ramadan or I chose not to make it in the month of Ramadan, then which time of the year am I going to make it? Really, which time of the year will we make it?
Allah, whenever you wake up, that's the morning. Subhanallah. So yes, it is time that we wake up from this slumber of sleep and heedlessness. If we have been sleepwalking through the life, it is the time of Ramadan that can really wake us up. Absolutely. It is time for us to wake up. When will be another time? We will get this opportunity, this spiritual atmosphere that is brought upon us by the beautiful month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he speaks of the sanctity and the honor of the month of Ramadan, the value it provides to us, the Muslim Ummah, he says, if you only knew the virtues and the value of Ramadan, you would wish that the entire year was Ramadan.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
So yes, we need to realize that, we need to feel it within ourselves that this is the month of Ramadan. I may not know the value of it as it was extolled by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knew the true value of it because he said, had we known, we would wish that the entire year was Ramadan. So that by itself should give us enough motivation to really pay our due respect, this wonderful guest, and the beautiful month of Ramadan. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. And now we are going to listen to a beautiful nasiha and watch this clip, inshallah Azza wa Jal. Then we'll be back and discuss this topic again, inshallah Azza wa Jal, in the company of the two Madanis and the ulamas of Dawat Islam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Sallallahu
alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
Books of Ahadith are full of virtues of Ramadan. There are so many bounties and blessings in this blessed month. The Holy Prophet ﷺ even said that if my ummah had known what Ramadan is, they would wish if only Ramadan had remained the whole year. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, let's listen to a heartwarming saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that on the last day of Sha'ban, the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, O people, a blessed month has approached you. In this month there is a night that is better than 1,000 months. Allah Azza wa Jal has made it farz upon you to fast in this blessed month. To offer Taraweeh Salah in the nights is Sunnah. If you do a good deed in this month, it will be equivalent to carrying out a farz act in any other month. And if you perform a farz act in this month, it will be equivalent to carrying 70 farz acts in any other month. This is the month of patience, whose reward is heaven. This is the month of sympathy, and the believer's sustenance is increased in this month. In this month, the one who serves a fasting person with something to do iftar will be forgiven for his sins, and his neck will be freed from the fire of hell. And he will be rewarded the same as the one who fasted without any reduction in the reward of the fasting person. The companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, asked humbly, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, not all of us possess enough money to present a meal to a fasting person for iftar. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, Allah Azza wa Jal will give reward to the one who offers a sip of milk, a date or a sip of water to the fasting person, and the one who serves the fasting person with a meal with which his stomach is full will be given water from my pond, which is coarser, such that he will never feel thirsty and will enter heaven. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam further says, the first 10 days of this month are mercy, the middle 10 days are forgiveness, and the last 10 days are freedom from the fire of hell.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back, dear viewers. Alhamdulillah, after you have watched this beautiful clip and listened to the nasiha, inshallah Azza wa Jal, now we're reverting back to our topic of discussion today, and that is respect for the month of Ramadan. Sayyidi, we have, alhamdulillah, touched on this aspect from different angles, mashallah, as we are now moving towards the conclusion of today's episode and program. I would like to find out from Maulana Sahib that from your own observation, as we see people, meet people in day-to-day life, interact with people in our society, in our communities, and we all come from different societies, different communities. So at times our observations may be different. Your neighborhood may be different from mine, and my neighborhood will be different from that of Maulana Sahib's in our district. It differs from district to district and town to town. So, from your observation, Sayyidi, what have you seen generally, people in which they disrespect the month of Ramadan, and what are the changes that we could bring in and bring in a sense of reformation, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, because that is the thing for which we all strive, because this is our mission in Dawat Islami, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world, inshallah
Azza wa Jal. Jee, Munawar Sahib, there are actually so many factors that we can look at. However, I do recall of one aspect, and that aspect is regarding controlling one's temper during the month of Ramadan. As the famous saying goes, a hungry man is an angry man. And you know, during the month of Ramadan, we fast the whole day, alhamdulillah. But you know, for those who have a very high temper, who get angry fast, at times that can be detrimental also. Because what happens is, suppose a person gets angry or he gets frustrated with someone, right? And then he ends up maybe physically abusing the person, or if not physically abusing, then he may say something to the person out of anger and out of frustration whilst in the state of fasting, and then that person may get hurt. Now you've hurt the feelings of another Muslim brother. So this emotion of anger, though it's not a bad thing, it should be controlled. It's natural within every single human being, but it should be used in the right way, for the right purpose and for the right reasons, not for any small trivial matters. If this is under control whilst we are fasting during the month of Ramadan, then I feel inshallah everything else will go beautiful. Why? Because now the person can control his anger, he is calm, he is contained, his mind is clear, and with that he is not hurting or violating the rights of fellow Muslims as well.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So you know what you mentioned is so true, actually, because what we see, and I just want to broaden this slightly, that in the month of Ramadan, we are so pleased and so happy that the month of Ramadan has come, right? And what I noticed from time to time, unfortunately, and many of you may have noticed, some of our viewers of Madani Channel may have noticed, that in the month of Ramadan, the tempers are flaring, right? The tempers are flaring because there's no food in the stomach. So the tempers are flaring. As you get closer to iftar, we tend to develop this mindset that everyone around me needs to understand me now. Everyone around me needs to understand my situation. You must understand, I don't have food in my stomach, so please don't you dare get in my way. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. Our wives, the family members, people go home to their family members. Why is the family member, the wife, afraid of the husband at the time of iftar, that I mustn't do something wrong, because if I do something wrong, this is the time he can just snap. And people proudly talk about it. You know, when I'm angry, I see red. Nobody must come in front of me. Ikhwani, we are fasting for the sake of Allah. We are fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the control of our nafs. Allah made it easy for us to control our nafs. At that point, we want to strike fear in the hearts of other people, the other servants of Allah in front of us, but their hearts are fearful when they come in front of us. They are afraid to say one word, because when the moment they say a word, anything, you know, anything can just break loose. Our mouths just utter the worst of words. And the sad thing is, you see it on the roads. And why I'm saying on the roads? In public. Road rage is at its peak among Muslims in the month of Ramadan. That somebody must just cut in front of them. Usually they'll overlook it, but in the month of Ramadan, that is the time they will sit on the hooter, you know, press the hooter, press the horn, that it will, they will, and then pop their head out the window and shout a few bad words. And I heard someone say, you know, getting very angry and taking off. Hey, I'm fasting. I'm fasting, huh? You don't know, I can get very angry. I'm fasting. In a country like South Africa, where you have majority of the people of the country not being Muslims, I ask you, our way in the month of Ramadan, whilst others, disbelievers, are respecting the month of Ramadan, that Muslims are fasting and thus we must show them adab, we must show them respect. Our behavior like this, our anger taking off with people and then announcing that I have the right to take off and I have the right to anger because I'm fasting. Are we doing da'wah, inviting them towards Islam? Or what kind of picture are we painting about Islam, rulings of Islam in the blessed month of Ramadan? We are painting the worst of pictures, because it shows that Muslims will be at the worst of their behaviors in the month of Ramadan. This is not our way. This is not what Islam really taught us. This is not what our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. That Al-Muslim, man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Muslim is that person whom other Muslims are free from any harm. They feel safe from any harm reaching them, that no harm will reach them from the next Muslim's hands and tongue. The time that our iman should be at the strongest, the time we should be the best of Muslims, is the month of Ramadan. If we are becoming the worst in that time, there's nothing wrong with the month. We need to introspect. There's something wrong with us.
Allah.
May Allah guide us. Ameen.
Definitely, Ameen. Definitely. Jazakallah, Sayyidi. And anger is something that is a natural feeling. Mm-hmm. But now it remains in our care after that. Mm-hmm. It is a feeling that just emerges
right
from within us. It is something like a built-in feature.
Yes.
And we need to know how to deal with it.
Yes, correct.
Like, for example, puberty. It's a built-in feature in every human being.
Right.
And there comes an age where we become mature.
Yes.
Where it hits the age of puberty, and then we learn to deal with that.
Subhanallah.
Like that, every other issue of life, we learn to deal with it.
Yes.
Anger is also one of those things we learn to deal with.
Subhanallah.
When we are sad, we learn to deal with it. We sulk, we cry, and then we are fine.
Alhamdulillah.
So likewise, anger is also something we know it's not a permanent feeling.
Uh-huh.
It is there for a short time, and it will go away if we don't give it importance. But if we pet our anger, oh, I'm angry, oh, this is something serious now. Now, this is something we don't need to take it seriously. It is already serious. How more serious you want to make it now? Warrior, and the brave is not that person who can defeat another warrior. But truly brave is the one who learns to control his anger. Subhanallah. And we identify with the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is our identity, he is our role model. We are Muhammadans. The world calls us Muhammadans. Is this the behavior of Muhammadans in the month of Ramadan, that we moving around with a short fuse? No. This shouldn't be our character as Muslims. Inshallah azza wa jal. And alhamdulillah, I would really thank our guests, mashallah, who added much value and beauty to today's, alhamdulillah, today's episode and program. Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani, alhamdulillah. Maulana Ziyad Madani, mashallah. Jazakumullah, Sayyidi, mashallah.
Jazakallah. Huzur, actually, before we end today's segment, just the question is still on my mind. Huzur started with a very beautiful question. Can Huzur please share the answer to the question?
Yeah, I'm going to do
your segment. Subhanallah.
Mashallah, mashallah. Dear viewers, alhamdulillah, Maulana Sahib has reminded me, mashallah, and he has done you a great favor.
Alhamdulillah.
Otherwise, mashallah. I almost forgot about it. Jazakallah for reminding me. And we have asked you a question in the beginning of today's episode and program, mashallah. And the question was with regards to the Holy Quran. The question was, what word did Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam utter when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the cave of Hira? And you had four options to choose from. Option A, Allah. Option B, Quran. Option C, Alif Lam Mim. And option D, Iqra. So which is the correct answer? And I have promised you that inshallah the correct answer is going to be revealed on your screens towards the end of today's episode and program. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, you'll have to wait as we go for a short break and listen to this beautiful nasiha and this clip from our Mubaligh of Dawat Islam, inshallah Azza wa Jal. Thereafter, I'm going to reveal the correct answer to you. Stay tuned for that. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
There is this general misconception in our society that fasting causes illness or fasting causes weakness. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has stated in Al-Malfuz, part 2, page 143. Once I saw my respected father, Sayyidina Maulana Naqi Ali Khan, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, in my dream, a few weeks before Ramadan. He said, "Son, you will fall severely ill in the following Ramadan, but be careful. You should not miss even a single fast." As my father predicted, I did fall severely ill in Ramadan, but I did not miss even a single fast. Allah Hazrat says, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal granted me good health by the blessings of fasts.
The noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, "Sumu tasihu." Fast, you will get healthy. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem has narrated that the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam has said, Allah Azza wa Jal sent a revelation to one of the prophets of Bani Israel commanding him to inform his Ummah that if anyone fasts a day for my pleasure, I will grant him good health and reward him greatly. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I know that you have gone through enough torture already. Let me reveal the answer to you, alhamdulillah. The correct answer is option D, Iqra, subhanallah. This is the first verse to be revealed in the Holy Quran, subhanallah, and it was revealed in the cave of Hira. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for seclusion in the cave of Hira, and this is where the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq were revealed. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said to him, Iqra. So now you know the correct answer is Iqra. If you had chosen any other option, now you can rectify yourself and now you know what is the correct answer to that. Alhamdulillah. Most of us, we generally know. But if you didn't know, this is the correct answer, inshallah, azza wa jal. And now I shall take your leave. And alhamdulillah, at the same time, pay our gratitude to our guests. Alhamdulillah, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani, Maulana Ziyad Madani, and to you, our viewers, alhamdulillah. Without you, this journey wouldn't have been possible. So thank you in abundance. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Until next time. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Oh Allah, I ask you to grant me. Oh Allah, I ask you to grant me paradise.